Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. It's Friday, and we would love to hear from some of you today. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we had several callers on Wednesday's show that actually we didn't get to. People dropped, unfortunately, but also several of them did not have one press, so it's very important to press 1 so we know that you would like to speak with us and we don't go over with another caller. And our callers can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to our homepage, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour, and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, as well as on Blog Talk Radio. And again, those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio homepage. Okay, so, and I'm going to post to Facebook, I suppose, right now as we are getting ready to get into our topic.
Well, you know, it's interesting because since we had a caller on the last show.
We had several callers, but they came in later.
One of the callers was talking about karma.
Oh, yeah. I think we did get his birthday. He is a 40 equals 4.
Yeah, he's 8/15/79.
Yeah. Maybe we'll hear from him today or Wednesday. Who knows?
But karma, well, first of all, one has to believe in karma. That there's some condition or action out there that where karma is actually a fact. What some people might say, well, you get what you deserve. You know, you do bad, you get bad, that kind of thing. They just believe that's the way fate might work or the life might work. Karma is a different substance. Karma is something that is deliberately recorded in the soul. Soul collects and has to in some way pay back.
Right. True. But some people, you know, when people say if you do something wrong, you'll get what's coming to you. A lot of people go through life and they don't pay their penalties in that lifetime. They actually lead a pretty decent life on a physical level. And they don't until the next lifetime have to deal with the karma or in the astral realm, of course, prior to coming into the physical body.
Yeah, some people get away with it in one lifetime. But when you look at the world and you look at people who come back to the planet under horrible conditions, disfigurement, poverty, abuse, you kind of wonder why that might be. Now, you can put all kinds of reasons to it, rational reasons, logical reasons, or just that's the way it is. But if you do subscribe to karma, then there is a belief that you come in with this accumulation of karma that you brought into the world. Now, the problem is this: if you have karma, that is bad, why would others have to come in and play a part in that? Because karma has tentacles. It's far-reaching. It involves more than one player. So the karma is so intense that whoever was involved in any situation of karma is responsible. They'll come back
to replay in the next lifetime or resolve.
That's right. I mean, if you believe in karma, that's right. That's the way it is. Now, the problem with karma is some of us go through life and we keep escaping karma. We just keep building it and building it and building it. Or we don't escape it. We just keep aggravating it with each succeeding lifetime. We keep repeating the crimes. We don't learn. So there's an accumulation of karma, which can result in something really devastating. Now, karma can also be played out where one is a victim. I was just reading the paper where this police officer was chasing a drunk driver.
There were two actually motorcycle incidents, you know, within like 12 hours of each other, one in LA and then one in Lakewood.
So he's chasing after a drunk driver. He obviously entered an intersection and it was green. I don't know what the conditions were, but he was killed instantly.
Yeah, he was 41 years old and he actually had toured in Iraq, I think.
Yeah.
So interesting, which what I found interesting is that he survived that, which it could be fatal to, and has been fatal to many people going off to war. And then you come back to your home turf and you're killed, serving in line of duty.
Karma can be such that maybe he had something left to do in coming back.
Yeah, possibly. You're right.
And maybe the karmic situation that would have been prompted the fatality had to take place at a certain geographical location. It's a shame. But karma, now he was obviously a very awarded officer. He was community minded. He appeared to be a very nice father and husband. But nonetheless, karma can take the innocent, the seemingly innocent. That's what's so horrible about it. If it is indeed true, it can take anyone. But we have to look at the composition of karma and what that karma might involve. It doesn't always involve negative numbers.
In fact,
or lower numbers.
While you're talking, I'm going to see if I can find his birth date. Hold on. So go on. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. It doesn't always involve negative numbers or low numbers or compounded numbers. In fact, one can look at a birth date and be very astute at analyzing birth dates and still escape a karmic clause. It can be very well hidden. It's one of the hardest things to describe and interpret and justify. It's very difficult. Sometimes it's easy, but not all the time.
No.
When you have, it doesn't say.
Can't find it. I mean, when it's obituary, if there's an obituary, there may be. But no. No, not in the California Birth Index. So it's from somewhere else. Go on. Sorry.
It's really too difficult by birth date analysis to define the process of how karma may be worked out. You can look at a birth date and give evaluations.
And there may be something in his birth date that indicates that there would be an accident if looking in retrospect. There might be, there may not
there
be.
Might be.
We don't know
his birth date. But when you're looking at birth dates and you see some obvious things going on, not that everybody has to be concerned because they have a 0 or a 1 or an 11 or whatever it may be. You can be born in September 9th, 1999 and have karma. We all have karma because we came back. What's better to analyze is how the condition of one's mind. in terms of what you what one evaluates as their challenges in life, their habits, their vices, those kinds of things. And that might be one better indication in regard to looking at karma than just looking at the sheer birth date.
Okay, right.
We're not going to minimize what a birth date can mean.
Right. But in this person's case, he was very involved in the community. He was in a role of service, and not only in the military, but as police officer. So he's a public servant. And as you said, well-respected. So if we're talking about the content of what was in his mind, obviously there was a higher, at least on a humanistic level, a higher level of thought going on. I mean, he wasn't living for himself. I mean, he had a family and all that.
He was supposedly chasing a drunk driver. So in the karmic element, there has to be something to do with alcohol. That's number one. Number two, since he's chasing a drunk driver, he sacrificed his life, seemingly. Not by intention, but he sacrificed his life. Because otherwise...
Was it a drunk driver?
I think it was.
Well, it says...
Maybe the other guy was a drunk driver.
It was a traffic violation. It was a traffic violation. I don't know if it was... It doesn't say anything about alcohol in this article that I'm looking at. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It matters somewhat because... Obviously, there was something involving, the fact that he died in an accident. There was probably something.
Well, I've often
life.
Said that when people die on the road,
war karma.
It's a war karma.
So he was in war. I mean, in this lifetime.
I believe people die in traffic. There's some kind of war karma going on because the traffic is basically a very hostile situation. You're facing opposing death constantly by oncoming cars all the time. You're separated by nothing but a broken line on a road in most cases. And in other cases, you're all going in the same direction and you're confronted by a car that brakes or loses control or is speeding.
Tiger Woods must have been in several different wars in past lives.
Yeah.
Not really funny, but...
Well...
I'm not trying to make light of it.
Well, there's other situations going on in his life with his ego.
Yeah, I know. I'm making a joke. Anyway, it was not a very funny joke.
But
we can move on.
So with this in mind, maybe, you see, he's actually pursuing someone who's breaking the law. So he's going after someone who could potentially kill somebody. And in that process, he dies. So there's a bit of human beings' energy field, there's a bit of a sacrifice that's made, almost Christ-like, if you will. He goes at top speeds. He's risking his life to pursue somebody who's breaking the law, who potentially could kill someone. He's not, a power-hungry cop, probably not, who's just going after somebody. He's concerned. He's obeying his duty. His duty is to protect the public. He's going after somebody, and he has a family, he has children, and in pursuit of somebody he doesn't even know, he loses his life. So there's something, absolutely a hero clause involved in this. He's a hero.
So it sounds like the woman that killed him wasn't the person being pursued, it was someone that, so he entered an intersection when she was on a green, but she didn't look. So whoever killed him wasn't the person that was being pursued. I didn't know.
Enter an intersection, never, without looking. I don't care if there's a green light. I never enter it without looking, because if somebody is running a red light or is negligent and doesn't see that red light, and they're plowing into you at 40, 45 miles an hour, you're gone, basically. Intersections are dangerous. They're very dangerous, and they're controlled by lights. Think about it.
Which can, obviously, there can be errors with lights and people's judgments.
When you look at lights, it's weird, because red is first chakra, green is fourth, and yellow is third. But when you get into the green light, there's supposed to be balance. You know, you're supposed to have continual balance, but that doesn't mean you're always going to experience it.
Well, yeah, especially since you're at an intersection where there are different lights for each,
constantly going,
you know,
in different directions.
Direction.
And you're trusting that everyone is paying attention to those lights. And today with the iPhones and phones and texting, people, I mean, that's ludicrous. To be texting in during the process of doing something where you're potentially driving a lethal weapon and you could kill somebody. And while you're doing that, you're texting. In my estimation, every driver should, their hand should be on 10-2 on the wheel. They're constantly looking, they're braking, they're slowing down, they're cautious. No one should be. We've taken that for granted.
Well, yeah,
driving
even
a car should not be a casual manner.
One can use a hands-free phone device. It's legal to do that. So you can have a phone mounted in the car and talk on it. And I think that's still distracting. I mean, it's distracting. It can be distracting having another passenger in the vehicle and children. So
on the freeway, I'm totally nervous. And getting on, getting off, changing lanes, watching the car in front of me. I mean, it's a constant alert situation to me. There's no time to be casual. That's just the way I am.
So just real quick, it doesn't sound like, did they even catch the person who was pursuing?
I didn't say.
So we don't know if alcohol is involved or not, because we don't know why the person was being pursued in the first place. Was the person speeding? Did he suspect?
No. Those are, we don't know.
Brother unknowns.
But.
I mean,
but
there has to be some record of why he was following him, because there's a record on the recordings with the dispatch and all that.
Yeah, there might be more details. But when we just look at the situation in terms of the karmic evaluation of the drama, he was literally, just like in battle, he was risking his life to protect one country here, pedestrians and other drivers, lost his life. Needles, lost his whole life over it. So what does that mean? You know, put it together, compose a picture, an evaluation. After having come through his life, what, he was in his 40s or 30s?
Probably, he was 41.
That it comes to this.
And he has children, very sad.
But he didn't, you know, to die in the line of duty, it's so symbolic, because in the line of duty can also be in the line of a birth date. Where is that? Where in a birth date does it say we're going to die if in fact we're fated to die at a certain point? And I've been analyzing birth dates for over 50 years, every day, and still have not totally unlocked the mystery of where death occurs in a birth date. Maybe there isn't an answer. There's evaluations and there's interpretations. But when we get into the idea, it's not so much that you look at a birth date and can see somebody that dies because of their birth date. Where I have gone successfully, but regrettably, in seeing deaths on the highway is through a vision, not through a birth date. I've never seen it from a birth date that I see somebody die in the road.
The birth date is a tool, though. I mean, for you, like if we're talking about you analyzing a birth date and a person's fate, that image might come from the numbers.
It may be, it could be a tool, but a tool is a tool. It doesn't. You can't define how you're going to construct a house by looking at a tool. So the tool is there. But on the other hand, how do you see it? I don't know. The way I do it, I absorb energy through my third eye, and I can see things about traffic or deaths or things like this, which I've done many, many, many times, regrettably successfully. But the idea that where fate is involved, when we have karma on the road, I think we're all susceptible to it. But some of us are destined to die on the road. It's a terrible thing to say, but let's not put our head in the sand. It is a reality there. Israel is there. And this man made a pact with God that said, I am willing to die protecting the public, and if I'm destined to do so, so be it. That could have been in his soul.
Well, I mean, you have to also consider, and I'm not trying to, the fact that he was a highly decorated soldier, it says. So if he was in combat in Iraq, likely he killed people. I mean,
it could have
and
been,
then
yeah.
Talk about that. I mean, we can say, you know, that our soldiers are protecting the United States, but you have to also take into the fact that we're human beings. And even though you're defending, you know, a certain ideology in war, that people are dying. This is him. I don't know
yeah.
if you've seen this picture.
Well, you know, think of it.
And then, you know, so what kind of... it's just complicated.
Well,
it's complicated.
In the rush of battle, your culprit will be a bullet or a bomb. He went in the rush of an intersection, which is really going to the rush of battle, because here we have opposing forces. So you could say, in some respects, he was killed by a bullet. He was killed by a bomb. He was thrown, 100 feet or so. And that image somehow, in weird shadows, represents dying in battle. Because here he is chasing the enemy, here a lawbreaker, and an opposing force. Maybe it was friendly fire, but he runs into an intersection. Now, when he entered that intersection, he must have been going against a red light, thinking that his, because the other light was green, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're right.
So he went into a fire. He drove into an intersection that was potentially lethal.
Right.
That's what I'm understanding, that
but
the other light was green.
If he's, yeah, you're right. The other light was green. But if he was driving, see, this is the other thing with car chases. There's a point where you have to, I mean, we have televised chases here all the time. And sometimes it's to the point of ridiculousness. I mean, it clearly... officers that are involved in chasing these individuals that are trying to flee are endangering the public. Now, I'm not saying this is the case in this instance, but if he's driving into an intersection on a red, he could also hurt a pedestrian. I mean, you know, it's not only him that's at risk. It was other people's lives. We could drive into a car and kill someone that's a passenger or
a
driver in the car.
Police theorize they have to make tough choices.
Well, I mean,
because
but you have to agree.
Could be dangerous that to capture them.
Yeah, I agree with you, but you have to agree. I mean, on my point, I'm not talking about this specific incident because I don't know all the facts. But on, I mean, we've seen car chases on the news where it's like this is ridiculous.
It's
you're putting the public at risk, and if you've got a license plate and an idea who this, I mean, that's going to give you an idea who the suspect is in most cases. If not, there's a way to trace that, then make an arrest later at a later date,
right,
rather than continuing
a
chase.
You see, they also feel they have a protective shield because they have sirens. So if you're alert, you're going to hear the siren and be slowing down, looking around to see what's happening.
There's so many times we've seen cops almost hit people in these chases on TV. So,
and you don't always hear a siren if your windows are closed and they're playing the radio, which isn't against the law. It's just a lethal situation. That's what I'm saying. The road is dangerous. It's a dangerous place. We tend to think of pleasure drives and relaxing on the road. That is not my idea of relax. You don't relax on the road. You're totally in concentration, because when an accident occurs, it's usually sudden and horrific. Usually it's terrifying, and it can happen at any given moment. So this officer entering an intersection, possibly on a red light, thinking that his sirens are going to, or his flashing lights, or he's going to beat the opposing traffic, get through, because his adrenaline's up. He wants to capture this guy. He doesn't want to wait at a stop sign. He's got to go for it. So he's in soldier mode. He's rushing into battle. And that's his code. You know, no fear. You do what you have to do. But again, in that aspect, he's compromising and jeopardizing an innocent driver because he could collide with a driver who's obeying the law. So these decisions have to be carefully analyzed, because we could say that the officer was reckless. So let the guy go. Don't compromise somebody else's security and safety.
I mean, there's already a person on the road that's compromising safety by, you know, so by the sheer fact that that person is being chased or being reckless. We don't need, you know, I mean, not to say that you shouldn't, as a police officer, try to apprehend someone who's breaking the law on the road, but there's got to be a judgment call.
Just because there's, you know, thousands of pounds of metal hitting an unprotected motorcycle, and the odds are 10 to 1.
Clearly, he's way more, I mean, vulnerable on the motorcycle.
But what if he had hit the car broadside? And
that's what I said.
You know,
yeah.
Could have killed. So we live it, you know, when we try to shove this into karma, we're talking about the logistics of physical reality. But when we shove this into karma, it gets intriguing. And it's never going to be defined, because we can't. Karma is a very strange monster. And I call it monster in its negative aspects. It stalks, it surprises us, and it is lethal, potentially lethal. So when we get into this, I think the best way to deal with karma is to be careful, thoughtful, respectful, have reverence for God, for spirits, meditation, prayer. And that doesn't always work. But if you're going to be taken through karma, you better be on your best behavior, because we don't know. We just don't know when it might hit any of us. So, and I think karma has an elusive clause in it, meaning, you can define me all you want, but I hold the final note, which can defy any interpretation or prediction. So karma has a certain power that I respect. And all I can do is look at it and say, what are the best ways to deal with it? But when it becomes destiny, then I feel it was already subscribed to the person. And here, I think I'm using that word, subscribed to the, maybe had a prescription to karmic magazine. I don't know why I'm saying subscribe.
I don't either.
Maybe the sub, the underlying essence of the notation. But
ascribed.
Ascribed. I know. I know the difference between the words.
I know you do.
Why my tongue's going to subscribe.
That's, because maybe you want to do some magazine shopping.
Yeah. Karmic time. That was already established in the astral realm. The astral realm, a place of evaluation, judgment, a vast consideration of where the soul's going to go next and under what conditions.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it'd be interesting to have his birth date to know after the fact where he was, you know, on his linear code, what his karmic number was, where he was in his cycles, if he was pre-karma, post-karma, we don't know.
No.
I mean, if he was 41 years old, we know that he was either born in...
probably later in the year.
Yeah, so it's probably a higher karmic
41
number.
41 subtracted from 2020.
1980. Well, so that would be 1980. Oh, no. From 2020?
81. See, but 81, well, now you could say, well, 1981 holds
no,
a 10.
No, it'd be 79.
Well, 79?
Yeah, going backwards. See, so it would be possibly, it could be a high karmic number, because 1979, like, for instance, if he was born later in the year, I mean, it doesn't matter.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I mean, and again, the birth date is only going to explain so much. That can only go to certain depths of interpretation in terms of...
Well,
like
right, but it would give us more of an idea about what may have been his destiny, if this was a karmic destiny, or if this was, you know, something that was not, that was a creative destiny.
Well,
not that's creative.
The birth date,
word, but.
My feeling is that the birth date does hold the code of the soul. There is a soul code in the birth date. But I do believe that apart from the birth date, the soul still exists. And outside of the code of the birth date, the soul has a content of activity and energy and
right,
action.
Because the birth date is only
nothing to show in the birth date.
I mean, though the birth date is holds past lives, we're also talking about a specific birth date for one lifetime that he was in. So, I mean, he's had many birth dates if you believe in past lives.
Yeah, but they're captured.
Yeah.
Those many birth dates are captured
in
the
birth date. I know.
Yeah.
I made that point. I'm just saying he could have had a completely different birth date. There's going to be more content in that past life, in that birth date, than there is in this birth date. He has different birth dates every, yes, they're held there, but there's a reason why those numbers are appearing in this specific lifetime, because specific things need to be worked on.
Well, the one thing you can interpret, if nothing else, is that we know he died at 41. So the man had 41 years to spend on the earth. And right there, that's a karmic code, because you got to look at, okay, he had 41 years. What prompted him to come down? If we look at the element of karma, what prompted him to come down to earth where he would obtain, you know, create a family, have a history of serving the country, and then serving the public in terms of being a police officer, producing children, and whatever else he did in life. And then at 41, he's taken, and violently taken. So you can look at that and try to start to analyze a puzzle, Columbo-style puzzle, and try to figure out where the mystery is and what the mystery contains and why some of us are designated to die at a certain age. Not all of us are panned out. We're not machines. You know, we were discussing what the average age length is of a male. It's like 79 now, they determine in the United States. For whites. But no, we don't all live to be 79. Some of us live longer, some of us live shorter. So the attitude of how long any human being can spend on the planet has so many variables, it's impossible. It's worthless, useless to define how long we live. We're better at defining how long a washing machine is going to last than we are a human being. And there's no warranty, there's no guarantee, and there's nothing, mechanically speaking, we can analyze how long something's going to last. So what is it about the human being, regardless of machines, which we can better define, what is it about the human being that brings up such a mystery as to how long a human being can exist on the planet? We know somebody who, his famous phrase was, all will be well, and I'll be around a long time.
You're going to bring that up.
And lo and behold, he died by his own hands. Maybe.
Well,
we don't know. We don't know the condition, but obviously he had his vices and demons and things like that.
And he was taken prematurely as far as what a normal life expectancy would be. Yeah.
63.
Was he 63?
Yeah.
Was he going to be 64? Yeah, but he died before his birthday. So he would have been 60. I mean, he was almost 60. 63?
No, he was 63. So,
he would have been 64, right?
Yeah. Okay, so there's 63. But that's just one human being. I mean, how many do we have? Well, how many human beings do we have to look at? How about that actor that got out of his car and he was crushed?
Oh, yeah.
The one that was in Star Trek? The Russian actor that was both Polish or Russian. He was so talented. But, you know, what's that all? What is that all about? We don't, there's no clear definition. But if we're talking about karma on a show that's devised under the heading of psychic energy and spirit energy and things like this, it's a noteworthy topic, but one that we'll never be able to really answer, except to say, well, God gives and God takes away, and the hairs on our head are numbered, and there's a big program up there that says when we will die, if that be the case, or whether we prompt our own deaths beyond the great creator's jurisdiction. Because there's this attitude of free will. So death and the length of life is also factored in by free will.
Right, but in the case of this, in the case of the person who was crushed by his car, for example, analyzing what role he had in prompting that death, because he was, what did he do? Put his car in park or something and not put the brake on?
Yeah.
So there was some element of,
do the gate or something.
I don't want to say carelessness, because I don't want to apply any judgment in the situation to someone who was tragically killed. But I mean, if you don't take all the necessary precautions, then, you know, in life, then.
Well, sometimes, you know, we have instructions when we assemble something. Or we have instructions for how we operate things. We should have instructions for how we conduct life.
So what I mean, you know, what I'm trying to say is, was this destiny that he died, or was this
a carelessness?
And there were several different paths that he could have taken. So could he have escaped this death by being more careful?
We don't really know. He could have escaped it by being more careful. But we don't know what fate is.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't know what his fate was. If his fate was to die at that time, then it was all pre-planned. So it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to analyze. I remember looking at his birthday, but I don't remember. I remember him having high numbers in his birthday.
Look up the movie Star Trek. I didn't see the movie, but I know he was in it. But he was in other movies as well, but I know he was in that one.
This is him.
Russian or Polish? He's Russian.
He's Russian, and he did have high numbers. But he had high numbers in his year, but he was born 311.
Yeah.
89.
Our theory about 11 is problematic.
He's 32.5. He was 27 years old. He just turned 27, so 5 years. 5 years before his karmic change.
See, and he's got 11.
Yeah, and
he's got 11 in there, which arguably, you can argue it, but we tend to believe that 11 sold some very, very dangerous stuff.
Right. Doesn't mean you're going to end up dying early if you have an 11.
No. And 11s can be very high energies. We're not saying that. But there's always something going on with an 11. So this energy field of how we live and breathe, and what we do to preserve life. You know, we tend to talk about how fragile life is when somebody dies. Then we talk about how fragile it is. And then we go on our way, and we tend to forget death. It sort of stays in the back of our minds. Not with everybody, but with most of us, we tend to forget how precious life is and how fragile it is.
Someone's trying to call us. I can't get through.
Hope we can be heard. Can we be heard?
I don't know.
And that the attitude
of... Is there something wrong with the call lines?
Let's see.
The attitude of what? I don't think you should be running off and answering the phone during a call, a show.
Well,
apparently he's running off and answering the phone during a show. But what I'm going to do is give a call to the radio show to see if we can get through or not.
Oh, you want to schedule it? Oh, call me back again. You're at virtually on the other. Okay.
I'm trying to get through to the show myself. And I cannot. It's like the phone. Nope.
You can't get through?
No.
Nobody
can get through.
Can they hear us?
I have no way to, I don't know because I can't call in to hear and I can't play the radio show from outside.
I wonder if that's Blog Talk's fault.
Well, it's not ours. There's nothing, their number's not working.
Be heard. So how can it ever be heard? No, we're heard.
After the show.
After the show? You know, we got to continue, can we have to continue on cautiously?
I don't know.
And see, you know, make
I have
sure
to
we,
contact
we've done
them.
The whole show and we'll contact them and Blog Talk will get us going.
They're always so responsive.
Yeah. You know, Blog Talk, you can't
get
a wrong
person.
It's
just,
it's not what it used
you know,
to be.
You know, at the beginning it was, anyway, we don't want to like waste time talking about how poor Blog Talk
is. But you know, this is our, what, ninth year with Blog Talk?
I guess.
And I've been with Blog Talk probably 12 years. Okay, what are we going to do about karma? What are we going to do about breath? What are we going to do about how fragile life is? We live breath to breath. That's it. When you get down to the root system of existence, we live breath by breath. And think of how fragile that is, because breath is vapor, it's air. You can't hold on to it. Without it, you die. But it isn't something that you can grasp in your hand, in the function of the body, which is why it's so important when we look at the energy fields of a birth date. And we try to analyze where the fourth chakra is, our lungs, our heart. That is so vastly important. So I think people who are listening to the show.
If they're listening, we have no idea if we can even be heard. I don't know.
If we can't be heard, can we
I mean, I can play it.
The show? Can we reproduce the show and have it? Gone
no.
always? Or is it just
no, it's
gone?
Not being recorded. I don't have any way to reproduce something if we are not being recorded. I don't know. I mean, I can try to play it as we're talking here, and it's just interference.
We've only got 10 minutes left. Unless
I don't want to do
unless we just
it's just irritating.
Stop the show now.
Talk.
But I think we should
talk.
Continue. Can you hear me? I think we should continue the show.
Talk.
But I think we should
talk.
Continue. So we can be heard.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to edit that whole section out where you're answering. Okay.
Well.
Which is a pain.
Okay.
So we're being heard. That's the good
we're
news.
We're being heard.
We're being heard, but
we're
no one can
heard
reach
by
us.
No one.
Well, no, but, we don't have any way. People could be listening.
They could be listening.
They could be listening. We don't have any way to know because people aren't able to call in. So the whole Blog Talk Radio.
What can they? Can they? They can't even text. They can't even text comments to you. I don't know how that.
What
works.
Do you mean they can't text comments to me? I just got a comment. I just received
a comment. People can text
comments. Well, if they're connected to our Facebook page, if they're not, they can't tell us.
Okay, so we're spending too much time.
So what I'm going to do while you're talking is I'm going to try to call into another show.
Oh.
Go ahead.
So, okay. So the idea of where we get into fourth chakra, which is breath, see if, you know, those listening to the show, see if there's a four in your birthday. Just for fun, see if there's a four. It does represent a chakra. It may be in any given location of the birthday.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like...
And if you don't have a four, you don't have a four.
Right, but... You're heartless, especially if you have a division of four, then you're really heartless.
You know what's interesting? I read that zombies are becoming a big thing. And in Korea, there's an epidemic of zombie literature, books, and it may be due to the recent pandemic. But I can't recall if a zombie has a heart. You know, in terms of the historical narration of the history of zombies, I know they're dead. They're living dead.
Yes.
They have no soul.
They do.
The
heart, lungs, and a small part of the brain still work.
Oh,
so zombies do have
they've
heart.
Got to have it because they're breathing. And they make noises and everything. So a zombie has a heart. Interesting.
And there's debates.
So much for Damn Yankees.
There's debates about it online. What people do with their time.
Really?
Debating.
About whether a zombie
has a heartbeat.
Well, you know, the content of the heart sustains us. Without a heart, we don't live. I mean, we can be brain dead, but forget it. If you don't have a heart, you're done. You're dead. Yeah, and if you're brain dead, you're kind of dead too. But the heart chakra is what is the main headquarters for our breathing, our lungs. Lungs and the heart, they right join right there in the fourth chakra.
It's Gloria. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
And so when you think about that, you've got to think, all of us out there have to think, how do we define our heart? Because we all have a heart, and the heart functions accordingly. Some of us have a good heart, a pumping heart. Some of us have a weak heart. Some of us have skip beats, that kind of thing. But when we get into this other layer of interpretation about heart, a cold heart, a warm heart, a forgiving heart, how it got to be that place might have to do with our pulse rate, because we can be high-strung, we can be a calm person, but how heart got mixed up in emotion, because a heart is not really an emotion. It's an apparatus. It's an organ, right?
Yeah, but the emotions are connected to, the brain regulates the heart, and the heart responds to the brain.
Right.
As far as the emotional state.
Well, the brain has a certain, there are parts of the
mental
brain that involve the emotions. There are parts of the brain that involves the emotions.
Right.
And
this
is where we get into a big debate about human beings and animals and things like this. But we have this emotional part of the brain, right?
Right.
So now, how does the heart, if the heart supplies blood to the brain, why do we not say you're warm-brained, you're cold, you have a cold brain, you have a warm brain? How does the heart become so synonymous with emotion? Start at that. Because our heart pitter-patters when we're excited or in love. It has to do with the content of the thought and the heart.
There
might be some kind of communication going on with the fourth and sixth chakra.
Well, we know that there are. There is. There are.
Well,
there
yeah,
is.
I'm talking as, you know, I understand that. But how it got into the concept of how
because
this heart energy, which is supposed to be our balance chakra, so the heart's supposed to balance our whole body.
Because I think before there was scientific data that showed that the brain was responsible for regulating the heart, that it was thought to be that the heart was responsible for, you know, emotional patterns.
Philosophically, you know, we've got Aristotle and Plato and who analyzed the brain and the heart and the emotions, and we got into early scientific discoveries about the brain and what taps and that. But when we get into the poetic essence, the narrative, the human narrative of how the organs,
the telltale heart,
complement narration in terms of emotions, and how we have this ability to suggest that the heart is an emotional energy when it's really nothing but a pumping. I mean, to look at the heart is disgusting, the way it pumps and moves. It's not a pretty organ, but we tend to think of the heart as being beautiful when really it isn't.
Oh.
But on the topic of how breath and blood flow connects to emotion, connects to thought. We were even talking about this policeman who probably was filled with adrenaline to get the person he was going after, how that energy starts to overwhelm and control us.
May I interject something real quick? Because the woman that's trying to get a hold of us, Gloria, she's a regular caller. She was calling in to warn. Remember we had the caller last show about the cat and the diet? Yeah, the cat. The cat was, the urine wasn't concentrating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She just wanted to warn. I doubt the caller is listening. But in case the caller is listening, she was calling in to warn her about Fancy Feast brand cat food, because it's not grain-free, and she says, like, Sheba is an affordable grain-free cat food, better for cats.
Oh,
so,
Sheba?
Yeah. That's what she says.
Sheba.
I didn't know that she was grain-free, but Sheba. they may make a grain-free variety. They may have different lines. But anyway, okay, I apologize for interrupting. Go ahead.
No. You know, whenever we can save a cat's life, that's fine. But what is it? What do you think about the heart
standing in for
the interpretation of emotion?
I just told you what I thought.
I agree, but I don't think it really matches the accuracy. I mean, we talk about pulse, but how we define that fourth chakra that's vital to our existence and what it means. And how it can kill us or enlighten us. Because you can die through acts of the heart. The heart can be so emotionally distraught that it can cause severe damage to oneself or somebody else. So the idea and the bridge work between the heart and how the heart and the brain operates, that's where we get into the idea of awareness, whether it's through meditation, spirituality, or just sheer superego jurisdiction of how we have to be ethical or obey the laws or respect life. It all is involved with energy. Now, when we come in to the earth and we have these birthday codes, you better start looking at your numbers, because your numbers will define parts of who you are and, in effect, present a total picture of yourself as a human being.
You know, something I didn't think about that person we were talking about earlier that succumbed early, all will be well.
Yeah.
4 was his day, and his year was a 4.
Yeah.
In totality, 13-4.
Well, he had heart.
And that's, well, no, but he died. That's why he died.
Yeah.
That's what he died of.
Ultimately, heart attack.
Stroke, but that's heart. I mean, stroke is a brain, heart thing. Anyway.
So, just be aware. I know we didn't have any callers.
Well, we didn't. And it's really unfortunate that the lines are down.
Is it with all the shows?
I don't know. I didn't call another show because I don't want to accidentally get on the air. But I imagine that the other lines are down. It's probably a known issue. I don't know. I'll try to find out after the show. And actually, we are at the end of our show today. And are back on the air Wednesday, is that right? Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Sorry to everyone who tried to get a hold of us today. Hopefully Wednesday things will be back to normal. Bye-bye.